Welcome to this edition of Meet the People of MCB with Kay Monquist and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's Meet the People. Edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Monquist.
How you doing today, Kay?
Well, I'm doing great.
Is that right? Okay.
Well, how about you, Chip?
I'm doing wonderful. Really, I'm doing really terrific. So, yeah. Well, I tell you what, we have a very exceptional, extraordinary guest that we're going to interview today. I've known this individual for a very long time. I've known both of her parents, but we won't hold that against her. But I'm really delighted that she has so graciously consented to being our guest today here on Meet the People. Our guest is Linda Cocovizzo. How you doing, Linda?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
Yeah, well, good. So what is new in the life of Linda C?
What is new? There's always something. We purchased a house about a year ago, so there's always something.
And that, is that in Kansas City?
That is in, yes, it's in Gladstone, or otherwise known as Happy Rock.
Okay. Yeah, I know where Gladstone is. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Linda, you know, normally what we do is, and we can get into that a little more as we go along here, but we like to start off asking the question about your vision loss. So tell us a little bit about your vision loss.
Well, I don't know that I would call it loss. It's because I don't really miss what I've never had. So as far as I know, I've never had it. I was born with Leber's congenital amaurosis. I wasn't aware that that is what I had up until I had my oldest daughter, Sarah. But we found out that it basically started with my mom, and that her father was just probably, you know, a little bit older at conception. And so there was a mutation. And so we have a rare gene of Leber's congenital amaurosis called CRX. And that is the only autosomal dominant gene of LCA. And so it's kind of a 50-50 chance in our case as to whether our children will be blind. So my in my situation, as a comparison to other people with Leber's congenital amaurosis who have, there's like, I don't know, 23 or so odd genes of that, and they are autosomal recessive. So basically two people have to come together with that and not realize they have it. And then produce a child that does have it. So it's just kind of a crazy thing, and we just roll with it. And both of my children are completely blind also, so.
And do you have prosthetics, wear prosthetics?
Yes, I do, and my mother does, and my youngest child does. We had closed angle glaucoma. So, and I know anybody who's experienced that totally understands what that is. It's very painful. It's a little bit different from regular glaucoma. I'm not to say there's not pain involved, because I'm quite positive there is, and there's discomfort. But in this case, it's when closed angle glaucoma happens, the eye is basically done for. And so, we did have our eyes removed. My oldest daughter, we managed to catch hers in time, and we were able to do the laser surgeries. And so she does still have her eyes, although they're not super healthy eyes. So, but there are questions about how related that is to our particular eye disease, and if there's not something else involved in that. So we're not real sure about all that.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I wear a prosthetic in my right eye, and then I have a saguaro shell over the left eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the color blue. I originally had green, and I had green eyes for the longest period of time, and then I decided to do blue. So if you don't mind me asking, what color are your eyes?
My eyes are hazel. I went with a little bit darker brown at one point, but I went back and I had a I had a ocularist at one time that made my eyes, and he really didn't put a lot of effort into it, and he used what they call stock eyes, and the guy gave me two right eyes. So for a few years there, I was in very much discomfort and didn't realize why, and somebody did, you know, kept saying it looked a little weird. And then I went to my normal ocularist, who was from St. Louis and had come down to Springfield right before I had my oldest daughter, and he was like, "Well, no wonder your eyes are, you know, the son of a gun made you two right eyes." So
lovely.
So yeah, I went back to my hazel color, and I'm good.
Oh, good. Well, before I turn it over to Kay with her questions, there's always the question about someone who is visually impaired, who's blind, has never seen before. What is it like for someone like yourself, not knowing exactly what color, yellow or red or white or whatever color it might be? How do you manage such things as far as colors go? How are you able to, in your mind, understand what colors are?
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't. I never have. I don't know that I ever will. I kind of have an understanding a little bit of what matches what. But when it comes down to, I mean, I just pray. Thank God there's, you know, you know, Ira is not supposed to give you like a lot of opinions on stuff, but you can ask for the, you know, does this match or whatever? And there's Ira out there, and there's, you know, just, but you get different opinions. You truly, truly do. I'll get something, yep, one is. Thing from my mother-in-law, and I'll get another thing from somebody else. And what are you wearing that for? You know,
yeah.
So-and-so told me it matched. And I've had people tell me one thing was one color, and then that same thing was a totally different color, because of the way, just the way people see things, it's just really weird.
It has to do with the light as well. Different lighting will actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when I call Be My Eyes and get a volunteer and ask for a color of my pants or whatever, and it's so different than what I might get from my wife. Or if I do a FaceTime call with one of my family members and ask them, I get the same deal. It's just like, why can't they all agree on what the color of these pants are? And it is, you're right. It's quite a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I used to be able to, I had some vision, so I remember what colors look like. And it's funny that you talk about eye color, because my eyes were a blue-green. And my dad used to say, it's really fascinating. He said, when you get angry, your eyes actually change color. Sorry. I don't know if you heard that or not. I just stepped on my dog's squeak toy. But I have a question that I don't know if I should ask this question, but it's interesting because you have two daughters that are blind. Mm-hmm. And my mom and I had a conversation one time, and she said, I obviously don't regret having children. My sister could see perfectly fine, but I could not. And she said, there are days that I really feel bad because of the fact that you inherited my blindness. And she said, don't get me wrong. She said, I know you're fine and everything else like that, but I feel bad for passing on what I had, which in my case was retinoblastoma. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, do you ever think of watch your kids go through and struggle to do things and have
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you what, it's been a struggle. My mom, she really struggled with it because of society and their attitudes about it. And I think that's why she decided not to have more children, because she felt like she was, you know, that was wrong for her to do. And sadly, she decided not to have more children. And in my case, I mean, I think I knew there was a possibility because, well, my sister could see. So I didn't know, and I didn't know what we had. Yeah. And so I knew there was a possibility when I had Sarah that I could have a blind child. I think deep down I knew that. And then when I did, you know, the I think my first thing was to figure out what is this, you know, and I did figure out what it was, but it took me a while to convince the doctors that's what it was because of the rare gene. And everybody, even in the LCA world, was telling me that's not possible. And then finally, somebody reached out to me and I was able to get the genetic testing and figure it out. But there was also an electroretinogram that the doctor gave my daughter when she was 5 months old. And he said, because he said, there's no way it can't be LCA, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you, you know, we'll do a test and we'll prove it. And then he had to call me back and tell me that's what that was. And he couldn't really explain it. And that was the last I heard from the guy. But then, so we got the genetic testing in Iowa. And then I had, you know, I had Tara, well, this, I had Tara before the genetic testing. And Tara was. Came along, and right after I had had just a very early trimester miscarriage, and I had decided in my mind that I wasn't going to have any more children, and that was okay, and that, you know, I was blessed to have the one I had. But I'll tell you what, Tara came along, and I mean, it's just been, you know, we have our challenges as siblings and stuff, and as parents and whatever, of course, as always with any child, but it has been the biggest blessing ever to have her in Sarah together, because I really, one of the things I always thought was I really did not want to have an only child. I mean, I know that people do, and that's fine and whatever, but that's just not, I didn't feel like Sarah needed to be an only child. And it has been, and to make things more fun, they were born on the same day 3 years apart.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
That's like a birthday party around your place, huh?
Yeah.
It, you know, it can be. You know, when they were younger, I don't think they realized that that was, you know, different. I think they kind of maybe have in their heads thought maybe all siblings had a birthday at the same time. But now they're older, and there are some instances where it doesn't work out quite so well, but we still enjoy it.
Yep.
So talking about your family, I know people know that Jack Link is your dad, Cindy Smart is your mom. You have a sister, Jackie, and she has what, two, three kids,
Has
Jackie
two
does?
children.
Yeah, okay. And what were their names again? I remember one of
Amanda
them,
and
but
Bradley.
yes, yeah. Okay. And what are they doing these days?
Well, Amanda is a mom, and she has two young children. I want to get their ages correctly. It's 3 and 6. Also, the one is the second one. First one's going to be 6 in July. So 3 and 5 at the moment. And Amanda is working and a little bit too, and doing the stay-at-home mom thing. And she's also preparing to have child number 3. And then Bradley is working, and I'm not even going to try to remember the name of where he works, but he works on large trucks.
Okay. Okay.
So,
Yeah.
yeah,
And what is
he's.
Jackie doing? I know she's quite
Jackie
successful.
works for Eagle Pitcher.
Okay.
So they build a lot of batteries for NASA and such. I'm not even,
Oh,
well, you
wow.
know.
Okay.
She.
I'm not very good at explaining it, but she's very good at what she does.
Yeah.
Oh
She's done some a lot of traveling too,
yeah,
hasn't she?
she's and her job title of, I'm not going to try to remember the job title, but she does a lot of traveling and networking with folks all over the country.
Yeah. All right. So let's bring our focus back to you and your family. You've got two girls, as we've already mentioned, Sarah and Tara. And just for folks that don't know, you've told me and you told individuals that were on our ATI call when you were talking about Clubhouse. But those individuals who are not on that call, why don't you just tell us their ages?
Oh, my children are 17 and 20 as of yesterday.
Isn't that
Wow.
something? Isn't I mean, when Linda first told me that, I thought, get out of here. They can't be that old.
No
It just
way, I
can't.
know. Yep.
Wow.
Because
It's just like.
they've been around since, well, I mean, since they were born. So, I think Sarah went to MCB camp. And I think we would have went the year she was born, except for the fact that, well, yeah, they've been around since they were born. I hear you. But
That's okay. I'm
if you're
sorry.
around MCB since they were born is kind of where I'm going with it. But Sarah,
No problem.
oh my gosh. It's been
So
a long
what
day
are
out. So Sarah, but Sarah went to MCB camp at the at, when she was one. And I think
Yeah.
we would have taken her, I would have taken her the year before, but her daddy was a little bit like, I think that's a terrible idea. I think she would have loved it.
So what is Sarah and Tara doing these days?
Well, my gosh. Sarah just finished. Sarah actually graduated last year academically, and then she took a year and did some transitioning in they have what they call the Pride House, and so they at North Kansas City Schools, and so she was able to go in and work a little bit on some of the daily living skills, the expanded core curriculum stuff. And so she actually technically graduated from that transition this year, and she also attended a little bit of college. Last year she did 6 hours each semester, 6 credit hours. So this year she starts full time at Metropolitan Community College, and she's going to go to the SOAR program. And she's somebody, one of my kids is going to tell me what that stands for exactly, but it's up in St. Louis through the Lighthouse for the Blind for 16 to 21 year olds. And it basically concentrates again on those expanded core curriculum skills. I think it kind of might take it to a whole new level. They do quite a bit there. I don't have all the information and I can't divulge some of it. So, but then Tara is in high school. She just became a junior as of Friday. And she's been acting in her theater program at school. And she played in Seussical last year in the fall. And she also played in a play called Puffs, which is a Harry Potter themed play in the spring, and she's in choir, and she's won her state and district competitions for solos, and so she's out there enjoying life and doing well, and she's in all honors courses in her high school, and they had both gone to public school, and Sarah did graduate and was able to go to the same school and graduate from the same high school. And Tara is now going to that school and hopefully will graduate from that school. So,
Oh, that's
good
really
deal.
awesome. Glad to hear that they've acquired your musical talents. I always
Oh,
admire.
they've gone way beyond me.
Is that right? Okay, all right. Okay, you got another question for
I
Linda.
sure do. You had mentioned while we were talking before we started this podcast that you are working, and I didn't get into that. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing, with yourself as far as work? And yeah, just go with work for now.
So when I moved to Kansas City, I was determined to get a job, and I reached out in every direction I could, and I was lucky enough to land because of the fact that earlier in life I had worked in the Joplin schools and done some Braille transcription and those kind of things, and also worked with RSB as a rehab engineer for a couple of years. I had the experience, and so I applied for a job that came open in 2011. I think here. Yes, 2011. And at the Metropolitan Community College here in Kansas City. And I was accepted to that job in 2012, in January of 2012. And it is, we basically work on alternate formats for students with disabilities, but then also, we do a lot of checking on different websites, third-party websites and things to make sure they're accessible for students. That is a good portion of what we do.
That'll keep you busy,
Work in the
especially.
ADA compliance office at Metropolitan Community College.
Well, that sounds interesting. I'm sure you run into different things all the time,
Oh,
but
absolutely.
yeah.
It's awesome. Our program was a little bit different when I first started. We were doing things on, we had students with, and we're talking about all kinds of disabilities here. So, print disabilities, and then, there's mobility issues that can cause print disabilities if you have students that aren't able to turn pages and those kind of things. So, and when we first started, we were literally doing audio CDs of books. We would edit a book, and then we would create audio files and make audio CDs, and we had stacks and stacks of CDs that we were sending out. At this point now, it's come to, we have a lot of availability of books already that are, I say we have, but there are books available that are in a format as such that they students can log in and just read their books, either using a screen reader or with an audio player. And so we're not doing so much of that anymore. So more of what I do is testing the websites and such and speaking with people about, you know, accessibility. And there's the online courses that I test through Metropolitan Community College, but there's not as many hours. So I've been searching for other job opportunities, and I've been looking into accessibility. And in the fall, I will be taking the screen reader user tester program through the Carroll Center in Boston. I mean, it won't be going to Boston, it'll be remote. But right. That's my plan for the fall. And I've been working with different companies also, just doing some, you know, random testing here and there for them. And then, you know, I reach out when I can. And I was able to, I don't know if you've ever heard of the app Clue.
Yeah, I have. So I kind of like playing around with it. It's fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. I haven't had a chance to play around with it as much as I wanted to before I start the testing. And I really want to do that before. And it starts June 6th, but it is pretty cool. Utilizes your camera to get around indoor spaces. And I'll be working with them this summer. And the money is not, the money is good, but it's the experience that I'm really looking for at this point. So those are the kinds of things I'm doing.
Yeah. And do you know who the instructor will be there at the Carroll Center for you?
I know that David Kingsbury is one of them. Heather Thomas, I think Thomas or Thompson. And then the other one, I have the email, Nick Corbett, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Yeah. So as we go through time here now, you've been associated with MCB just about your whole life due to Jack and your mom. So, and I know you've really been heavily involved at times. You know, you've held the office of MCB secretary. You've done a lot there with Allied, I'm sure. You've been a legislative rep. You've been a board rep. You've done a lot of different things. So is there anything about MCB that maybe stands out in your mind that you really enjoyed doing at the time that you were actually doing those things?
I became a member of MCB in 1993, and then a year later, I moved to St. Louis. So, I moved from St. Louis to Tulsa. And so then I came back and rejoined in 1996, and I became a board member in the fall of 98. And I was a board member off and on, but I'll tell you that the things I learned from being a board member, you know, just aside from being an officer, I was secretary from the fall of 2008 to the fall of 2010. And that was an excellent experience, a challenging experience and an excellent experience all at the same time. But being a board member has taught me so much about all kinds of things with organizations and order and just, you know, it's been, I'm a little bit of a slow learner, and you know, life gets busy, and so but I've really appreciated that opportunity and to learn about bylaws and the Constitution and those kind of things and implement that kind of stuff in some of the stuff I do now as far as other organizations that I'm in. So, you know, I really very much appreciated that opportunity. And then there's the fun stuff that, you know, camp. Every year, I think I probably missed maybe two or three years or so since 1999. Have had my kids there most every year. And it's just, camp's just very enjoyable. I appreciate the opportunity to have been able to do that and spend time with friends and family. We made it a family time for several years with my mom. And my niece and nephew that came to camp, and we just had a good time. It was a week out of the summer, and it was just great. And the adaptive technology, the grants, but then also the special interest affiliate, and just being able to work with them to be able to get some of the equipment that my family needs, because there are three of us, and sometimes there's just no way we would be able to afford everything without that help. And so it's very much appreciated. And the, you know, the special interest affiliate, just that camaraderie and the group, we can, you know, throw things around and learn things and together and whatever. And gosh, youth services has been super helpful to my kids, as far as those, when you have blind kids, you can't just go out and buy a coloring book and crayons. So you got to get creative. And sometimes it costs some money. So that's been very helpful over the years too. So MCB, and just, like I said, all I've learned from being an MCB to everything that all of the programs and services that MCB has. Yeah. So,
well, before I turn it back over to Kay again, I do have to tell you a couple of different things. When you were MCB secretary, I always admire the way that you were able to keep the minutes and then, you know, be able to, you know, share minutes at a moment's notice when you had to go back and maybe retrieve certain minutes or whatever. And I know, in my mind, I've got some favorites as far as, you know, MCB state secretaries, John Wheatley, Janelle Edwards, of course, Joe Morgan, and you guys, I mean, you guys always did exceptionally well, you know, at that position. And I always admired the way you guys were able to do that.
And I knew John all my life. I mean, you know, from the time I moved to Missouri, I knew John, and John was always my mentor. And when it came down to that, you know, he always had something for me. And, you know, I knew that he was going to be there to stand up and let me know when I did something wrong.
I
had the same experience when he was secretary for UWB, and I really enjoyed him being around.
And, you know, talking about camp, there were times, Linda, when you and your family was there, and Linda and I were there, my wife and I were there. And so, and, you know, playing past the trash and doing different things. It was always really good, you know, doing different things like that. So you were always just really fun to be around. So Kay, you had some other questions for Linda.
Well, Linda, what can you tell us that you find, you know, that you, what can you tell us about you that people don't know? Is there anything that pops out of your mind that you might think that people find interesting or something different about Linda than what she normally talks about?
Oh my. I don't know. I probably could come up with some kind of surprise every day. I don't spend a lot of time talking with people. So I think sometimes people think that, you know, I'm aloof, or that, you know, I'm not social, or I think that, you know, maybe what I'm doing might be more important than what others are doing. But it's just, you know, I'm always out there trying to help people. And when I see somebody on the list struggling with something, I'm always jumping in and trying to help people. And, you know, so I don't ever want people to think that when life just gets busy and we get carried away, and sometimes we don't always connect. And so I'm out here if you want to connect with me, and I'm more than happy to. I may be a little slow trying to get, you know, trying to respond to things, but I definitely do try, and I'm out here for you if you need me. So,
you know, I can relate to that. Life happens, and I have people in my contact list and people that I know I need to get a hold of. And it's just, I'll do that. And that never happens. So
exactly.
I can completely relate to that.
Yep.
100%.
Kay and I have had, you know, correspondences where I'll email her, and it might be like 2 or 3 months later. She's like, hey, I know I needed to respond to this. And it's exactly like that. I mean, you keep that email because you know you're going to do it.
Yep.
And then you just, yeah.
Yep. So do you have any hobbies or anything like that? I don't know. You know, reading, gardening. I don't, you know, anything that you like to do, or music, or obviously you do like music.
Well, yeah, my kids do. It's all around me.
Yeah.
I do like to read when I get the opportunity. And I like to cook. I like to cook for my family and, you know, my friends. I like to, I like to sit down and watch a good show on, you know, I love the fact that stuff is audio described And so that I really enjoy those things. And then when I can sit down and enjoy one with my family or some sighted friends, and that's great too. I've not gotten that gardening thing pinned down yet. I plan to make that happen one of these days. But I enjoy working with my husband on house projects and, you know, just learning new things and getting my hands dirty sometimes. And just those new experiences are always what I'm out looking for. And I like to play with technology sometimes. And, you know, people think I'm crazy because I use an Android, but I also use an iPhone, and I'm using
the PC. There's nothing wrong with being diverse about things like that. I mean, sometimes that's handy. You never know. So,
well, and I enjoy it, and I'm, you know, it's going to be a part of the program that I'll be into in October. And, you know, it helps to be able to test websites and apps on different platforms. So, and then, you know, being able to help people learn those, you know, platforms and know that there are other, you know, different things out there, and things don't always have to be the same. So, so that's it. That's about it, I think, as far as interests and hobbies.
Yeah. Well, sounds good to me. I mean, that's, you know, a varied interest, and there's nothing wrong with that. So
yeah,
no, that's great. And like I said, I agree with you as far as for being diverse and being able, because in my case, somebody comes to me with an Android and they say, how do you do this? Duh, I don't know. No clue. So there's definitely a plus to that. Chip, do you have anything more you'd like to
ask? A couple of real quick things. You know, Linda, I told you this before, but I was always been jealous that God smiled on you, shined on you, and here you got all this wealth of knowledge and experience when it comes to different technology. Are both your girls the same way? Or are they pretty well advanced with today's modern technology?
No, I think if it works, they're happy. I have put Android tablets in their hands to let them know, because one of the most frustrating things to me is, and this is with anything, is for somebody to come in and just say it's not accessible and not have the knowledge that it's not accessible. I mean, if it's not accessible, that's one thing, and you know that it's not accessible, but just to come in and say, well, I can't use that, it's not accessible. So, you know, that is one of the most frustrating things I have. I mean, you know, that I deal with technology. And so my idea for putting the Androids in their hands was just to show them it actually is accessible, and you can actually do things with it and play with it and, you know, have fun with it but actually accomplish things with it too. So, but no, I mean, for them, they just don't have the interest and I think where my interest came from, that they don't really see, because they came along and it was just there. And so, you know, the thing that they remember was touch screens, you know, and that when they were coming up. But I remember dial phones and so on and
yeah.
so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, just fighting to be able to have access to technology that was accessible. And I think that, you know, as we move along, I like to try to keep up as much as I can and see where things are going. And you know, I there's a story that I tell all the time about how when my kids were first born, and you know, of course, back then the touch screens weren't accessible, and we didn't have a lot of that technology. I mean, it was if you could get a cell phone that was actually going to talk to you and give you that feedback, you were in good shape. And by the time that they started getting older, I was dealing with you know, well, first it was like, who am I going to ask to read the back of this box so that I can, you know, make dinner, you know? And, you know, I'm very tempted to chase down the mailman sometimes. And, you know, but now, you know, then, you know, and then the kids got older and all those papers, they came home in their backpacks. Oh my gosh. It was like a night. I still have nightmares about those papers, just the plethora of papers. And then, you know, it started with Sarah, and then it started with, you know, and then I had two backpacks full of papers, and they couldn't read them to me, and I couldn't read them. And so now to be able to have the technology to be able to do those things, you know, and read those papers, or maybe call Be My Eyes or Ira, or something like that to be able to access that information or utilize all of the different identification apps and OCR apps. And you know, if I get an image and I need to read the text in it, most of the time I can do it on my PC with JAWS or whatever. So it's just amazing where technology has gone, even just in the last few years. So, and I think that's what sparks my interest. But for them, they don't see it that way because it's always been there. So it's like, oh yeah, well, I guess I'll use that app. But I do remember, when Tara was little, she had, I think it was Tap Tap C, and there might have been another one, and she was scanning her room. I don't know. She probably had to be 8, 9 years old. She lost something, and she's scanning her room, taking pictures, trying to see if her Tap Tap C is going to tell her where things are and see if she can find that. So that was pretty creative stuff at that age, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Linda, in closing, is there anything that you would like to share with all of our listeners? Words of encouragement, words that might inspire them, something that just might encourage them wherever they might be.
Well, I just want to say, hang in there, because we're all out here, and you know, just reach out if you need to, because there's tons of people in MCB that will, you know, that are probably looking for the same thing as far as a connection or, you know, to talk about an interest or whatever. And I'm really glad, I haven't been able to get involved too much because of time, but I'm really glad there are things such as the chair exercises and the open chats and things that people can get involved in, and ATI meetings every month. And I really encourage you to reach out to your youth around you in your areas, your blind youth, and bring them in, because we're not doing anything in the MCB but getting older. And we need to bring the young people in so that we have, you know, we can keep MCB going. I mean, that sounds a little bit, you know, maybe morbid or whatever, but it's true. And we need to get the young people involved and let them know about MCB and ACB. And we need to make it a little more interesting for our young people, I think.
Good words.
Great advice.
Yeah, you bet. Great words. So appreciate that so much. And thank you, Linda, for the visit today. Really appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone, maybe even yourself, that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can call me at 417-540-9703.
Or you can call me at 608-436-2610.
You never know, you might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of your week. Goodbye, everybody.